Imagine opening up a desktop computer and finding that air effectively no longer exists inside it.
Yeah, that's a wild thought.
Right. Well, welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at a teardown of a machine where the physical gap between a 100-watt power supply and the motherboard is like less than 1.5
This
millimeters.
is just an extreme level of dense.
Exactly. It's a density so extreme that one tech analyst literally called it a 3D circuit sculpture. So our mission today is to look past the sleek marketing and dive right into the silicon guts of the 2026 Mac Mini.
And we really need to understand why this little silver box might actually be the final nail in the coffin for bulky PC towers.
Yeah, and what that means for your own daily workflow. We're pulling our insights today from this highly detailed hardware teardown from the tech analysts at Tekin Garage. It's titled Bisecting the 2026 Mac Mini, a 2 nanometer silicon autopsy.
It's a fantastic piece of source material. I mean, what their team, the Tekin Legion, they call themselves, what they uncovered fundamentally challenges what we thought was even physically possible in consumer hardware.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because for decades, we've had this collective understanding of what a powerful computer is supposed to look
Oh,
like.
absolutely. The giant metal box under the desk.
Exactly. If you wanted serious performance, you needed this massive tower. It had to be heavy. It had to have these giant roaring fans. And that bulk was just, well, it was the physical price we paid for raw power.
Right, there's the trade-off.
But Tekin Garage's laser scanners mapped the internal clearances of this new Mac Mini, and finding a gap of less than 1.5 millimeters between the power supply unit's capacitors and the logic board is just
It
staggering.
really is.
It's like watching someone play a high-stakes game of 3D Tetris, where one wrong millimeter means the entire system just short circuits. Which brings up an immediate pushback question for me.
Go for it.
The teardown says they fit a 100-watt power supply into a space smaller than a matchbox, completely eliminating traditional transformers. Isn't that like taking the alternator out of a car? I mean, how does it even get power without violently exploding?
It's a completely fair question. It feels like it breaks the rules. But what's fascinating here is how they achieve this. It comes down to a complete overhaul of how we manage electricity at a microscopic level.
Okay, so what's the trick?
The magic relies on two major material innovations working together. First, you have gallium nitride semiconductors, which you often hear called GaN.
Oh, right, like those little fast chargers for phones.
Exactly like those. But using it to power a full desktop architecture in a space this small is a massive leap. GaN has a much wider band gap than standard silicon,
Meaning what exactly?
meaning electrons can move through it with vastly less resistance. Traditional silicon is relatively inefficient when converting power from your wall outlet. A lot of that electricity hits resistance and is lost as waste heat.
Which is why old power supplies needed so much space and big heat sinks.
Right, they had to dissipate all that wasted energy. But with GaN, the electricity flows so much more efficiently that far less energy turns into heat. So you just don't need all that bulky packaging.
Wow. Okay, so GaN handles the heat and efficiency. But what about the transformers? Because the source mentioned Apple printed planar inductors directly onto the board.
Yes, and that is the second major innovation. Think of a traditional copper coil in a transformer like a physical metal spring.
Okay.
It inherently takes up vertical space. What Apple did with these planar inductors was take that spring, flatten it out entirely, and literally print it as a two-dimensional copper spiral directly onto the layers of the circuit board.
Wait, really? Just print it into the board itself?
Printed right in, you get the exact same electromagnetic effect, but you reclaim all of that vertical physical space. So you combine the hyper-efficiency of GaN with those flattened printed inductors, and suddenly your 100-watt power supply shrinks down to the size of a matchbox.
That is just elegant. And I mean, looking at the numbers from the Tekin analysis, it translates to incredible efficiency. They measured the thermal design power, the TDP of this machine, at just 15 to 20 watts.
Which is remarkably low.
It's insane, especially when you compare that to a standard gaming mini PC, which changs anywhere from 65 to 95 watts. It's drawing the same amount of power as like an LED light bulb, but delivering workstation class performance.
And for you listening right now, the most immediate impact of this is the end of those giant, heavy black power bricks cluttering up your minimalist workspace. It's all internalized.
But logically, even with GaN and printed coils, packing 100 watts of electrical throughput into a microscopic sealed silver chamber creates a glaring problem.
The heat.
Exactly. Heat is the ultimate enemy of silicon. If you imprison an immensely powerful chip in a tightly packed box, how did they stop this thing from melting a literal hole through your desk?
That is the exact paradox of micrometric design. And it's why Tick and Garage spent so much time dissecting the thermal management. They revealed an entirely new cooling architecture that Apple calls vortex cooling.
Which I have to say sounds incredibly dramatic.
It does, but it's an accurate description of the physics.
Yeah.
Standard airflow just wouldn't work here. Traditional PC fans blow air in a straight line across hot components.
Right.
But in a chassis with less than 1.5 millimeters of clearance, those internal components act like a solid brick wall. A normal fan just bounces air off that wall. It can't penetrate.
So how does the vortex system fix that?
It draws cool air from the base and uses highly specialized, high-pitch, aerodynamic fan blades. These blades are engineered to increase the static pressure of the air by 40%.
Okay, so it's not about the volume of air, but how hard it's pushing it.
Exactly. High static pressure means the fan generates enough physical force to aggressively squeeze that air directly through those microscopic internal gaps.
So it's forcing a high-pressure cyclone through a solid block of metal. And to actually capture the heat so the cyclone can blow it out, the teardown noted they used a central heat sink forged from a copper graphene composite.
Yes, just massively. Graphene is a single two-dimensional layer of carbon atoms. When you composite that with copper, the thermal properties go completely off the charts.
The source said it has triple the thermal conductivity of standard aluminum, right?
Correct. It doesn't just absorb the heat, it violently pulls the heat away from the silicon three times faster, instantly transferring it to that high-pressure vortex of air.
And the results of their thermal debug are wild. They proved that even during an intense 8K video rendering session, the surface temperature stayed under 45 degrees Celsius.
Barely warm to the touch.
Yeah, but I have to play devil's advocate here. We saw in the source's earlier 2026 handheld PC war analysis that tiny devices almost universally suffer from thermal throttling.
Oh, it's the dirty secret of compact computing.
Right. The minute you put them under sustained pressure, the system panics and throttles the processor's speed down to save itself. How do we know this Mac Mini isn't just going to choke under pressure?
It's a valid concern, but the teardown specifically tested for this using their Bloodborne Remastered 2026 benchmark analysis. Frame rate stability relies directly on silicon thermals.
Meaning if it gets hot, the frames drop.
Yeah.
Exactly. But their telemetry proved that Apple has essentially performed a surgical intervention here. The heat is exhausted so efficiently that zero throttling occurs. The silicon runs at maximum capacity infinitely.
Wow. Okay, so now that we know the hardware won't overheat, what is this tiny, icy cool engine actually powering? It's time to talk about the brain of the machine.
The M5.
Yeah, and here's where it gets really interesting. This chip is built on TSMC's 2-nanometer JFET lithography. To visualize just how absurdly small 2 nanometers is, imagine shrinking entire city blocks down so meticulously that you can fit a sprawling metropolis into a shoebox.
And the city actually functions faster because the distance between the buildings is practically non-existent.
Exactly. But the acronym JFET, Gate-All-Around Field Effect Transistor, what does that nanosheet structure actually do?
It solves current leakage.
Yeah.
When you shrink things to 2 nanometers, electrons literally tend to leak out of the transistor when it's supposed to be turned off. That causes heat and inefficiency. With GAFFET, the gate fully wraps around the silicon channel like a tunnel. You have 360-degree control over the electron flow, so leakage is virtually eliminated. This is precisely why the 10-core architecture is 30% more efficient than the last generation.
That's a huge jump, but the way they distributed that power on the die is what caught my eye.
Right. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the true paradigm shift isn't just the standard processing cores, it's the neural engine.
Yeah, the teardown revealed that Apple allocated over 40% of the entire silicon area specifically to AI processing.
Which is unprecedented. Tick and Garage argues this evolves the Mac Mini from a traditional computer into what they call a central core, or a cybernetic agent.
I love that term, and the math backs it up. A standard gaming mini PC puts out about 40 to 50 TOPS, trillions of operations per second, for AI tasks. The M5 pushes 80 to 100 TOPS.
And it utilizes LPDDR6 unified memory.
Right. They confirmed it can execute a local AI model at speeds exceeding 120 tokens per second. But let's ground this for a second. For the listener who is just trying to get through their workday, what does executing a 70 billion parameter AI model offline actually mean?
It fundamentally changes your relationship with your data. Right now, when you use a highly capable AI, you're reliant on the cloud. You type a prompt, it goes over the internet to a server farm, gets processed, and comes back.
Which introduces latency.
Latency, microstutters, and most importantly, massive privacy vulnerabilities. Your data leaves your desk. Running it completely offline means you bypass the cloud entirely.
Wow.
That hyper-intelligent AI lives directly on your local silicon. It ingests and generates responses instantly without microstutters, and it's securely locked behind local encryption. Your private data never has to leave your desk.
So running giant AI models locally is just a massive flex, but computers still have to connect to the outside world. Can this microscopic motherboard handle high-end external workflows without choking?
Well, that brings us to the port architecture. It's armed exclusively with Thunderbolt 5.
Right, and the analogy I think works best here. It's like upgrading from a crowded single-lane dirt road to a multi-lane, speed-limit-free superhighway. It pushes 80 to 120 gigabits per second.
That's triple the speed of the previous generation. And to manage that, Apple uses a specific proprietary controller chip. What this effectively cures is data latency.
So what does that mean for a creative professional?
It means you can output your workspace to dual 8K displays running at a 60 hertz refresh rate, and you won't drop a single frame. It also allows seamless external GPU or eGPU connection.
Ah, right. Which brings up the David and Goliath comparison from The Source. They benchmarked this tiny cube against traditional mid-range PC towers, and the Mac Mini completely slotted them in four-layer 8K video editing.
Because of the unified RAM silicon architecture, everything shares the same data pool instantaneously.
But let's be real, The Source admits it doesn't beat massive gaming rigs equipped with something like an RTX 5090. So is this actually for gamers or just video editors?
There's nuance there. Thanks to the Game Porting Toolkit 2, it still runs demanding Windows AAA games. Tech and Garage confirmed it runs titles like Death Stranding and Cyberpunk 2077 natively on high settings.
So the massive towers are really dying out for all but the most extreme 1% of users. It sounds like the perfect machine. But cramming a supercomputer into a tiny box must come with a catch. So what does this all mean for your wallet?
Yeah, let's talk about the innovation tax.
The financial reality of miniaturization. The Source dropped a staggering stat. Manufacturing just one TSMC 2-nanometer wafer costs nearly $30,000.
It's astronomical.
And Apple hiked the base price because of it. As a consumer, how is paying a massive innovation tax a strategic investment and not just a ripoff?
It's all about how we value longevity. Apple countered the price hike by drastically boosting the base memory and integrated bandwidth. But more importantly, we have to look at the ongoing operational economics.
You mean the power draw?
Yes. When you factor in that 15 to 20 watt draw against a massive, energy-hungry gaming tower over a few years, it actually offers the highest power per dollar ratio on the market.
So the efficiency pays you back.
Exactly. And this raises an important question. How do we value future-proofing? The extra cost up front ensures the device remains structurally relevant for years. You're prepaying for a localized AI infrastructure.
That makes a lot of sense. And that perfectly summarizes the journey we've been on today. We've seen how the 2026 Mac Mini uses micrometric design to become a 3D circuit sculpture. We explored the vortex cooling, the 2-nanometer architecture, and how it turns a desktop into a localized, highly secure AI data center.
All while sitting silently on your desk.
Exactly. So for you listening right now, if you are a minimalist who demands raw power but refuses to sacrifice your workspace, this is exactly the kind of engineering leap you've been waiting for.
But there's a final thought I want to leave everyone with, building on that local AI revelation.
Let's share it.
If tiny silent boxes on our desks are now capable of running massive 70 billion parameter AI models entirely locally and securely, are we about to witness the collapse of the multi-billion dollar cloud computing industry?
Oh, wow.
I mean, if your desk is the data center, who really owns the future of AI?
That is a brilliant, provocative thought to end on. I love that. Keep questioning, keep exploring, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.